fear God properly is to stand in awe of God. To have some understanding of your position and God. You're a creature. He's the creator. He made all of this. 50 billion light years out there, He made it. And you're a creature. You didn't choose to come. He chose you to stand in awe of God. Not knee-knocking fear, God's going to get you. Folks, if God's going to get you, you're God. Can you imagine you could keep God from getting you? That's the dumbest thought on this earth. I'm talking about anxiety, fear. Anxiety, it'll drive you nuts. And the fear people that are demonstrating the greatest love that you'll ever experience on this earth is insanity. Do you know that little girls, that their daddy molests them, thinks that their daddy loves them? No matter what daddy does to you, it's love. What did I do wrong? You understand? If fear is what my father produces in me, I'll call it love. That's the problem some people have here, right? Well, I know my daddy loved me. Okay. Now listen to me. Any of this is out of ignorance. Any of this I did, any my father did, any his father did, his father did, his father did, to Adam, is out of ignorance. Understand? Out of ignorance. I think of things that I did, I would have never done them. That's why I tell you it's so important to seek understanding. Seek understanding. Oh God, create in me an understanding heart. Don't anybody walk out of here and blame any of these people. I want you to look at this. Look at the sister sitting here. Can you imagine being afraid of this? Folks, see, that's what I'm talking about is anxiety, fear. Some of us will even try to make people be afraid of us, and they still shouldn't be afraid of us. There's nothing to fear here. I'm not talking about the fear of stepping in front of a Mack truck. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about anxieties, worry. Folks, when my father, and I sit here, my father's still alive, and my father was a good man. But when he came in the front door, I went out the back. Some of you can identify with that. I was afraid of him because he would hurt me. And folks, when something has hurt you, you can't love it. That is sick. I've seen it so sick, I've had women sit in my office with their black and blue. And I'd say, would you like to go spend the night at my house tonight? No, I've got to go home. He loves me so much. I'd say, you're crazier than a loon. He hates your guts. But he loves me. No, he don't. That's hatred. It's not love.
But he's my husband.
He's sick.
Well, his daddy beat up his mama. I know it.
But he loves me. No, that's not love, folks. That isn't love. Only fear can flourish in an atmosphere, or only hatred can flourish in an atmosphere of fear. You cannot love something you're afraid of. That's sick. That is a severe illness of the human mind. So, since people are going to keep hurting you, how would you dissipate the fear? The answer isn't you stop everybody from hurting people. The answer is it can be dissipated while you're being hurt.
You sure won't call it love, though. They're loving me.
Fear produces indifference, doesn't it? How many people are here and are in love with the government? How many people in here are afraid of them? Everybody in the room is. I'll tell you what, folks. You tell me the joy that springs out of your heart when you pick up a letter in the mailbox and it's in a brown envelope and it's got Internal Revenue Service up in the left-hand corner. Scares the living dickens out of it. Oh, God, they've caught me. And every one of us in here knows some place they could have caught us. Teach your children to understand. Don't teach them to be afraid. Had you rather understand snakes or be afraid of them? See, there's some snakes that'll bite you and kill you. Some snakes keep those snakes away. You know, there's a lot of religious people that say there are only two things that really exist: love and fear. Only two things that exist: love and fear. Let me talk to you about some fears. We teach children to fear adults, the fear of disapproval, to be afraid of God. I might not be their boy, but God is, and He'll get you. Now, there's a healthy way to do that. How about if you told your child this, you know, I'm not going to be with you all the time, but you're with you all the time. Do you like people that do those kind of things? No, I really don't. Well, I wonder if you'd like yourself if you did those things. Probably wouldn't. That's a, you know, takes a lot of time, though, to do these kind of things with children. It's hard to hold down a job and do these. Takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. The fear of the dark, fear of pleasing, or fear of not pleasing. An interesting fear in this country is the fear of poverty. There's no fear of poverty in Haiti. Fear of poverty is in America. They're starving to death, and we're dying of arteriosclerosis. Isn't that a funny thing? Is that an anxiety fear? See, that's what I'm talking about. Fearing something that just isn't really real. You know, fear of burglars. I often wonder, sometimes I'll go in a house and there'll be 17 locks down the door. And I think to myself, I wonder if they're going to be disappointed and they've dropped dead and nobody's tried to break in. I wish somebody had tried to rob me. I've spent all this money on these locks. Would anybody in here like to know the solution to the robbery problem? Don't have anything they want. I want to tell you something, folks. You may think that's crazy. I think that may be Jesus' attitude. Listen to him. Don't lay up for yourself treasures. It'll make thieves out of people. Oh, I thought it was the thief's fault. It was the man that laid up treasures that was buried. Don't be an occasion of sin for anyone. Now, David, if the mess is that big, quit sloshing it around. Like the mess I'm in. That may be the way it is, folks. If I was in Haiti or if I was in some of those poor African countries saying this, they'd say, yeah, God, that's it. That's it. How about the fear of being found out? How about learning to teach our children to regulate themselves rather than be afraid of us and our fear regulating them? The fear of mom and dad regulating. The fear of God regulating. The fear of, but self-regulating. Teaching them to make the right choices. And teaching them to make the right choice for the right reason. To do the right thing for the wrong reason is the greatest treason. It's the reason that you do what you do that really counts in the eyes of God. Anything we fear, we hate. A lot of these fears just naturally dissipate. Y'all do know that, don't you? They just, for instance, I can remember the day that I looked down in my father's eyes. I didn't go out the back door when he came in the front anymore. You understand? Some of them naturally dissipate. The only thing it takes to begin to deal with these fears is to understand them. That's all. Nothing else. Not asking you to do anything else. We're not the effort that I'm talking about here is you take this in your life and ask yourself, am I afraid of my spouse? Why is it when he asked me how much a dress cost, I lied to him? Who are you thinking about? See, this is just what I'm talking about right there. Why is it when your wife asks you where you've been that you can't tell her? And it might have been a perfectly legitimate place. You might have been shopping at the mall just like she shops at the mall. You understand? Most spouses fear each other. Now, I'm not talking about something that's you and the guy across town. This is a household problem. How about the fear of being found out? You know, if y'all knew me, you wouldn't listen to me. Don't get too uppity with me. If I knew you, I wouldn't talk to you. How would you like to walk in this classroom and everything you ever thought and did be written on the front page of a newspaper, and I hand it out to everybody to read? Would you stick around the room?
No.
Absolutely not. Would you stick around the school? I mean, you'd pray to God the thing didn't get back home. Isn't that something? When I look at you innocent ladies and I say, well, it really couldn't be them too. But I know it is. I was talking like this to the nuns in Belize one time. You know, how we were liars and they were afraid of everybody. And it's hard to do, folks. You know, I got 60 nuns sitting there, the most innocent looking things, and all these white, you know what I'm going? God knows, they're not really like that, are they, Lord? Yep, just like that, David. Oh, no. So I said, are y'all allowed to take food to your room? Oh, no. I said, how many's got a banana under their pillow? They nearly fell out of the chair. You understand? Why is it under the pillow?
Afraid.
Who are they looking out for? And as long as you're doing that, it'll be hard to recognize the suffering in another. Goodness that depends on fear is simply cowardice. When you see somebody doing good acts and they're doing it because they're afraid, I did this all of my life as a youngster. It is simply cowardice. You're producing a coward. Goodness that's done because you're afraid of the consequences if you're not good is a coward. Y'all spend a lot of time thinking on that one, but I'll tell you, I know right where to lead. Goodness that depends on fear is simply cowardice. Some of us may discover, you know what, I may have not ever had a good act go out of me. And we shouldn't be afraid of that, see, because God wants to heal us. Okay? Goodness that depends on the hope of a reward, of praise, of heaven, depends on bribery. You're good because bribery is not a virtue. Isn't it interesting? You know, I can remember when I began to say, I said, my God, everything I ever did. Do you know it's easier to live with children that are afraid of you than that love you? It is easier to live with children that are afraid of you than that love you and know you love them. Children that love you are always hanging around you. I mean, you're in the kitchen, they're in the kitchen. Mama, I want to help you cook. Could I put the water in the cookie dough? You understand? Not afraid of you. But children that are afraid of you, they're gone. They're someplace else. It's easier to live with children that are afraid of you than children that love you and know you love them. Mother Teresa says, always do the most difficult thing. Isn't that interesting? You know what? I've been kind of looking at that, and I've looked at it for a long time, and it's just always kind of right. Always do the most difficult thing. Isn't that interesting? Now, I can't leave. I'm going to keep you a couple of minutes late because I got to give you the solution to the problem. The problem of apathy. And it's agape. It's easier to talk about the apathy than it is the agape. But you can spend the rest of your life, because you and I are Christians and we believe that Jesus reveals the love of God. Jesus is love. Love one another as I have loved you. Wonder why he didn't just say love one another. Because then we would be left to define what love is. You aren't left to define it. You don't have to bother yourself with defining what love is. This is love. The life of Jesus is love. Love one another as he loved us. Now I'll give you some aspects of it. He was willing to suffer without the desire to get even. Now you understand, all of a sudden, it's not the person that perpetrates the suffering that can alleviate the fear. You can alleviate it. Learn to be willing to suffer without the desire to get even. The willingness to serve without the desire of a return. And the last aspect I'd like to give is, I'm going to do it in a negative way. I'm going to tell you something that as long as these criteria are met, it's not love, as Jesus loved. Any act that's done For the hope of a reward is never agape. Anytime you do something expecting a particular response from someone else, it may be the right thing, but it's the wrong reason. Any act that's an act of love is worth doing just because of itself. So if I give Mary a glass of water, the value lies in Mary's thirsty and I'm giving her a glass of water. She slaps it out of my hand, it's all right. She spits in my eye, it's all right. I'll even try to give her another glass of water because Mary needs a glass of water. The value lies in the act. And if you do the act because of somebody's response, we're missing it. All of the words of Jesus say this. If you love those who love you, what grace is there in that? Anybody does that. If you love somebody expecting them to love you in return, you're missing it. Oh, it's wonderful when they love you in return, folks. And if the whole world did that, heaven would be right here all around us. But if you love people expecting them to love you in return, it's nothing. Everybody does that. There's nothing eternal in it, nothing lasting in it. If you lend to those to whom you expect to be repaid from, what good is there in that? Lend expecting nothing in return. If you invite somebody home to eat with you, who do you invite? Someone that can't repay the act. Isn't that awesome? How many of us ever thought about that? Jesus said it over and over. He said, love your enemy. What's your reward from your enemy, folks? Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other. This is what love is. And anything that you do expecting a response, you're doing it for the response. No love. I sure do love you folks, and I'll see you tomorrow.